Hey, crew. Hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Plan the parade. Trey McBride scored a touchdown. I acknowledge we'll talk about it and review some leaders as we record this Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters at 12 noon Eastern Time on Monday, September 22nd. Week 3 isn't done yet. There will be some impact fantasy performers as a result of the Monday night game between the Lions and Ravens, which we obviously cannot cover in this podcast unless I'm going to use the Sports Almanac via Marty McFly and Biff Tannen. I don't want to show my cards. I'd also like to thank Brandon Legal Group for their continued support of everything that I do in the podcast universe. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area and you have a legal need, find out why. They are a full-service law firm. And request a free consult anytime at 813-902-3576 or online at brandonlegalgroup.com. Your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Emails, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Just jumping right in, and again, nothing on the Monday night game. I don't think this will post before the Monday night game. You may not listen to it until after the Monday night game, so nothing is in here from week 3 after Ravens-Lions. That all said, here's everything else week 3. Let's start with the pass catchers and what they did specific to week 3, because there were nine pass catchers, 90 yards or more, 7 of them also scored touchdowns. The total touchdowns of the 9 with 90 yards or more was, let's see, there was a 2 and a 3. So bump up 1, 2. Yeah. Significant. If you had one or more of these 9 pass catchers in your week 3 game, in inverse order, although the guy at 90, tight end, some of you have been waiting for this, especially if you have him in a mandatory tight end league where he has value. Hunter Henry for the Vrabels, who lose a game to the style of game Mike Tomlin wins. And how about after the game, the Steelers basically acknowledging, yeah, we know they don't take care of the football. Henry, though, 90 yards on 8 receptions and 2 scores. So as there is little development in pass catcher, wide receivers, and not enough for those of you who bought the $20 Travion Henderson lottery ticket through 3 weeks in mandatory tight end leagues where you went with Hunter Henry with what? Your 6th, 7th, or 8th. He was the 6th, 7th, or 8th tight end off the board in ADP. He paid off for you with a big fantasy game. Biggest fantasy game for a tight end. Ferguson, 82 yards, didn't score. Chiggy for Tennessee, 66 yards, didn't score. Kincaid, 66, scores again. So the last couple of games, Kincaid's been more involved. This is what many Bills fans and fantasy people who wanted to invest in Kincaid thought would happen. It's happening a little bit the last couple of weeks in Buffalo. Strange for Jacksonville, 61 yards, no score. We'll get to the McBride. McBride wasn't one of the top 30 yardage guys going into Monday night. He didn't get to 60 yards, but he got the touchdown in a Cardinal loss. JSN, despite an illness, he's become one of those set it and forget it guys. Not bad for this early in his career, where Seattle's still figuring some things out. Isn't at the talent level yet to win that division and be a true playoff contender and then push beyond that. JSN, 96 yards on 5 catches and a touchdown, one of the catches for 45. Luther Burden makes an appearance. And there's the Cowboy team I've been waiting to see this season. They showed up in Chicago, not a surprise to me. Made the Bears look great. And Burden, 3 for 101, including a 65-yard catch and also a touchdown. So Burden jumps into the mix here, even though DJ Moore got in the end zone late. He didn't have the yardage. Odunze had another good game where Odunze had 62 and a touch, and DJ Moore was further down the board. So the Luther Burden number is more of a concern now for those that invested, I don't know, like me, a fifth-round draft pick in DJ Moore to get a piece of the Ben Johnson offense. Nico Collins, key fumble. Houston has lost 3 games where they were in a position to win it in the fourth quarter. And really look bad to try to win those games in the fourth quarter. There are those teams that you look at and you say, yeah, they can win it in the fourth quarter. And right now you look at Houston and they don't look the part at all. They've been in all 3 of the games they've played. Against the Rams, against the Bucks, against the Jaguars. In the fourth quarter, either down one or at a point up in the game, or in a position to kick field goal, win the game, 0-3. More close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. But Nico finally pays some dividends for those of us who invested high draft capital in him. Granted, he let his team down with a fumble late. 8 catches, 104, and a touchdown. A.J. Brown, he provides the value for those of you that drafted him and saw very little return on your draft capital the first 2 weeks. I won't say he single-handedly was the reason the Eagles came from behind in that game against the Rams, but he had a hell of a lot to do with it. 6 for 109 and 1 touchdown. This was the guy the Eagles drafted for, and the person they sent the draft pick that the Titans took has stunk. Talk about a one-way trade. Nacua does it again. 11 for 112. Didn't get in the end zone. For the Rams, Ricky Pearsall, we knew no Juwan Jennings. We knew that in the afternoon leading up to the game. Pearsall being used primarily downfield. Those are the routes he runs. Mack likes to throw those routes. So I'm not surprised Pearsall gets this work. Mack banged up. The timing of getting Purdy back seems to work out well for the Niners. Because I think next is either, it's one of the Allens and it isn't Josh. It's either Brandon Allen or Kyle Allen. Insert your own joke about some Allen from television that might be a better option at quarterback. But Pearsall, 8 for 117, didn't get in the end zone. Cortland Sutton makes an appearance, much like Nico Collins finally showed up. A.J. Brown finally gave you a big fantasy game. Cortland Sutton did in a losing effort for Denver. As they lose another winnable game. 6 for 118 and a touchdown for Sutton. Longest catch was 52. And then Trey Tucker, who wasn't in anybody's starting lineup, unless you're in a really, really deep league with a lot of starters. Trey Tucker, at best, the what? Fifth option for the Raiders? When you think of Raiders, Bowers, Genty, Myers, I guess fourth option. 8 for 145, 3 touchdowns, kind of like Amon-Ra did in week 2. Will Tucker be coveted on waivers? Sure. I don't think I'm in that business. It was in a 41-24 loss that he did this. I'm not too excited about it. I don't know that it's sustainable. Might just be one of those weeks for a good player based on game script on a team that isn't getting what they expected from Genty and has a banged up Bowers in Chip Kelly's offensive system. So those were the top 9 in yardage in terms of the pass catchers. The highest running back in pass catching yardage was Run CMC. His third straight, very solid. It might not be spectacular enough for some people. Third straight, solid week. Not injured. Caught 10 for 88 to go with what we're going to talk about with his rushing numbers. And the Niners are probably the least talked about undefeated team in the NFL. I believe there are 6. And there they sit at 3-0 with all their injuries, including the quarterback position, very little in the wide receiver game. They're worried about Bosa now. The Rams are in their division, and they're sitting on top at 3-0. Do we have – what was the next highest running back? Scatabo, 61 yards on 6 catches, was the next highest running back. Okay, let's go over to the rushing numbers and review those and see what we find on the rushing board. Only 300-yard rushers. All 300-yard rushers also scored a touchdown. If we draw the line at 78 yards rushing, which includes Jeremy McNichols for Washington, everyone at 78 yards rushing or higher, there were 7 of them. 6 of 7 scored a touchdown. Mason had 2. Taylor had 3. How about this? I was pretty invested in Mason. Not as invested as Josh Jacobs, but I did invest mid to late round picks this year in Jordan Mason, feeling he just looked more the part than Aaron Jones. And every time we talked about this on the podcast, every time last year Mason had the ball in Kyle Shanahan's offense, he was productive. So why wouldn't he be productive in a Kevin O'Connell offense? He has been. And sure enough, in the foundation, my opponent had Jonathan Taylor this week. So I'm going to lose that game unless Gibbs misses the team bus to get to the stadium and never shows up. I'm up by like 1.5 going into the Monday night game. I have no Lions or Ravens, and my opponent has Gibbs. But Mason is a draft pick that I made in at least 2 of my leagues, if not 3. And he paid off with the biggest rushing game of the week in terms of yardage. Taylor gets it based on yardage and touchdowns. They were 2 of the hundreds. Cook was the other. So those biggest games at 78 yards or higher, Jeremy McNichols, 4 carries for 78, 1 was 60 and a touchdown. J.K. Dobbins, again, the R.J. Harvey thing isn't happening. Not yet. Dobbins, 1183 and a touchdown and a 41-yard game. Kyron Williams, there's the volume that helped me win a fantasy championship 2 years ago, drafted Williams back-to-back with Jacobs in my 12-team league this year. Kyron, 20 carries, 94 yards, no touchdowns. Corum didn't vulture him this week for a touchdown, but Corum got 8 carries for 53. So the Rams, even in blowing that game at Philadelphia, Kyron and Corum ran it 28 times. for 147 yards. And Nacua had a huge game. That's on the defense. When the Rams needed a stop or needed to kick a damn field goal, breakdowns. Quinshon Judkins, 18 for 94 and a touch as the Browns surprised the Packers. I know some Packer fans weren't surprised by that. Good call by those of you who said stay away from that because that ruined some survivor pools. Taylor, 17, 102, three touchdowns. Is Taylor the best player in fantasy football through 3 weeks? He might be. Memories of what he did, 4 years ago? This is still the guy that, though, remember last year, was that a game in Denver? Dropped the ball to celebrate a touchdown going into the end zone? He seems at his best when he's 100% healthy and he feels good about his teammates, that he has a chance to win. When those things aren't in place, I question his motivation. Also, we went through the whole he needed to get paid. But he's hot right now. So are the Colts. You're going to get tired of hearing the Indiana Jones jokes. Those really, really ramped up, mainly thanks to Sunday Night Football doing it in their studio show. James Cook, 19 for 108 and a touch. From the Thursday night game, Jordan Mason, 116 and two touchdowns for the Vikings. Who was the highest rushing quarterback? It was Taylor, Tyrod Taylor, 8 for 4, though he did have a fumble. Jets make a huge comeback against the Bucs, but Baker has the ball last, goes length of the field, does Bucs do what they need to do despite the injury to Mike Evans. And for those of you like me invested in the consistency of Mike Evans, at this point you just have to expect he's going to miss multiple weeks. That's what it looked like immediately. That's what it looked like down the tunnel. Prepare for Evans to miss multiple weeks. I know nothing hard and firm. That just is the way it looks. Evans is older. The body doesn't heal as quickly. They may get Godwin back. This is what is great about Ibuka. They'll move Godwin likely to the slot and Ibuka out wide, because Ibuka can do both. And that was the plan in drafting him, knowing Evans was retiring either after this year or next year. Drake May did run for 45. He also had a fumble. Baker Mayfield ran for 44. A lot of that on the final drive. Well, on the final drive or the next to last drive? I think it was on the final drive. And Mariota got 40 yards and a touchdown in relief of Daniels as Washington rolled the Raiders. Anything else really stand out? In the Todd Wright Toddcast, a podcast I do of non-fantasy content, many of you listen to, I appreciate that. I'll crank out a new one of those tomorrow after the Monday night game with various football thoughts, pro, college, etc. So New Orleans gets blown out at Seattle. That was the survivor play, week three. That game was over very quickly. Kamara, 18 carries, 42 yards. So not a great game. Their longest carry, 8. If you remember, I did the podcast pre-flop, Gil Alexander term from VSiN. Every game the Saints won this year, which wouldn't be many, their Vegas over-under total was roughly 6.5. I know Hard Rock Bet had it just before the season started, like a minus 260. So like almost 3-1 odds. A 3-1 favorite that the Saints were going to go under that total. And I went through their schedule and said, I can make the case any team they beat, if this goes the way we expect it to go badly, and they're in Arch Madness, They're going to beat a team whose coach won't be around next year. So they're 0-3 with a lot of losable games in front of them. The trade deadline is 6 weeks away. I've started to hear Kamara won't be there after the trade deadline. You know where Kamara, and I know you're going to say the Chiefs, and that makes all the sense in the world. What about the Chargers? And if you're the Chargers, wouldn't you want to make the deal instead of the Chiefs? Now, Sean Payton would probably like to get Kamara too. So somewhere in the AFC West makes a ton of sense here for Kamara. Because if you go to the Chargers and Omarion Hampton, 19 for 70 and a touch, impact game, as the Chargers are a very talked about Harbaugh getting things done, 3-0 with three division wins in the AFC West. With no Najee Harris, Harbaugh probably wants someone else to complement Hampton rather than using Hampton for the next 4 months. So I could see the Chargers wanting to get Kamara. Sean Payton wanting to get Kamara is pretty obvious, especially if he doesn't feel Harvey is going to help him later in the year. And then the Chiefs could certainly use Kamara because they really don't have a top line running back. They're making do right now with Pacheco and Hunt. And it's not getting them very far. So Kamara could be going to any of three AFC West playoff teams by the trade deadline. All right, that's enough for this fantasy podcast. Send me your questions. I'll always respond to them via email, if not talk about them here on the podcast. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.